Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we'd like to talk about it with you. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Today we are reclaiming the word grace.
All right.
The gospel is a gospel of grace. We are saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God, not of ourselves, lest anyone should boast. It is grace that teaches us to say no to unrighteousness. It's grace that moves in our hearts to give of our resources to support the gospel proclamation, to reach out and meet the needs of others. We are what we are because of the grace of God. And yet Satan does everything in his power to water down that word. And one way that he does it is by moving people to attach adjectives to it. And I'm talking about folks that really love grace and folks that, you know, question grace. We've got the critics who call it cheap grace, easy believism grace, hyper grace, all of those adjectives. Well, what are they in essence doing? They are robbing grace of its power. We have other folks that are adding just these stunning adjectives to it. Radical grace, revolutionary grace, and just you all can just all. come up with all kinds of buzzwords. Well, what do we do there too? We're having to amp it up. Why? Because we're saying that it's not good enough just in and of itself. But when you read the Word of God, grace has no adjectives. There's only one place there's an adjective attached to it. And that's when Paul was commending the people of Macedonia for their generosity in meeting the needs of the people in Jerusalem. But every other place, it's simply grace. It stands on its own. Why? Because grace is connected to Jesus Christ. He is the one full of grace and truth. When we talk about grace, we are talking about none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Yeah. He is the one that saves. He is the one that sustains. He is the one that does everything. It's all of Jesus, period, end of story. So let's reclaim that word and hold it out for what it is. We don't need to amp it up. We don't need to negate it in any way, shape, or form. Let's just let it be grace. There's a powerful verse in Romans. Paul talks about grace, and he's talking about the Jewish people, and has God forgotten the Jews? And he comes up and says, heavens, no. Elijah was there, and he said, oh, I'm the only one. And God said, no. There's 7,000 others who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And even today, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And listen to what he says. And if it's by grace, and the verse is Romans 11:6, and if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. When we add all of these adjectives to it, we're saying that grace really isn't grace. Let's just leave it as the Bible leaves it, and just call it grace, period, end of story. That is the good news.
That is. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We have plenty of open lines if you'd like to come in and be a part of the conversation. If you have a particular Bible passage you can't understand, if there's some other issue going on that you'd like to talk about that you're facing in life, at home, at the office, at school, wherever it might be, give us a call. We want to talk about it, talk it through with you. 1-800-677-9377. Lots of open lines right now. Plenty of time on the clock. Give us a call.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go and talk to Peter listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Peter.
Hi, guys. I have a question. As a Christian, we should all be one in Christ, right?
That's correct. We are one in Christ.
We're all one in Christ. Now, there's all different. I'm not a practicing Catholic. There's all. I'm searching for. I want to say like a new church. Who's most correct in your opinion? You know, I mean, by the word, in the word, who's the most correct church today of today?
Well, Peter, no one has
it. Is it an individual? You have to come to an individual, you know, conclusion.
I think so, Peter, because you can say, hey, I'm more aligned with this denomination over all the other denominations, but then you might could go to one of those particular denominational churches, and the pastor is teaching something different that doesn't really mesh well with what the doctrinal statement is. So I think it's a by church type of thing. But what you want in a church and in a leadership group is folks who will stand up and say, we are holding up the name of Christ. We are lifting him up above all things. Okay. If the supremacy of Christ is not evident in a church, I think that should raise a red flag as far as that church group is concerned.
What about communion? What about is it the body of Christ, or is it just a remembrance of me? That's where I'm confused.
Well, it's to be done in remembrance of Christ, the fact that he shared his body with us, and the fact that we are now the body of Christ as believers. It should be done in such a way that it truly unifies us around the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ and this new covenant life that we experience through faith in him. But that's where all the differences start to come in.
Right, which shouldn't be. As Christians, we should all be one in Christ.
So you have one group saying...
In my eyes, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
As a Christian. You know, that's the vision... You know, if you go, you know, and it is going awry. It's just not right.
Yes.
There should not be no division with Jesus Christ.
Right.
He's our Lord and Savior.
And when we get to be with him in heaven, hang on, Peter. When we get to be with him, we're all going to be unified as one before his throne. We're all going to be bowed down as
but
one.
But here in the flesh, it's not a good, it's not a good thing to, I love all Christians.
Yeah.
You know, but then you get some that attack you for practicing a certain way, which shouldn't be. You know,
you're right, Peter.
Maybe
I agree with you.
You know, that's the whole like you say, everything is about Jesus Christ. He's our Lord and Savior, and it's His will. Everything is done in His will.
That's exactly right.
People want the power.
Yeah,
that's when you get into trouble.
Yeah.
It's just not it's not a good thing as Christians.
Well, Peter, you can understand why. I mean, Jesus said this: if you love one another, that proves that you're my disciples. So the world is looking for evidence. There's certainly historical evidence to Jesus' life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. As that evidence is gathered, it becomes this really overwhelming case for the truth of Jesus. But there's another piece of evidence that I think is even more powerful than the historical, and that is the fact of Christ living his life through us and expressing it in love one to another. As the world looks in, they take note of that and say, these people truly are followers of Christ. It proves his reality, his existence, and his presence here today. Well, what does Satan do? He attacks the body. He tries to divide the body, and he divides us over the silliest things. I knew a group of people who wanted to start a church, and about a month into it, they were trying to figure out if they wanted a piano or an organ for the music.
Right. Ridiculous.
And it became such a heated debate that it split that group right down the middle, and many of those haven't been reconciled since. So he does a masterful job in trying to divide us. But everywhere in the Word of God, it says, preserve the unity that is yours in Christ. And when we will forget about how we think things should be done and just rest in what Christ has accomplished for us, we'll find unity there and there alone. Peter, good question today. Let me put you on hold. I'm going to send you a copy of a book that I wrote called Love Is, and it really addresses this issue of unity in the body of Christ.
It's just like, you know, I find it, you know, it's not right.
Yeah, well, hang on. Right. We'll send it to you, okay?
All right, sure.
A reminder to our listeners that Love Is and all the resources we talk about on Basic Gospel are available through our website at store.basicgospel.net. We invite you to go there and poke around. You'll find some very interesting resources there to aid your spiritual growth and maturity.
Yes, indeed. Richard, it's kind of interesting when you take a look at the body of Christ back in the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, when Jesus offered his body, shared it with those disciples, the Last Supper, that was symbolic of what was going to happen as far as this body of Christ was concerned. And it's made up of Jew and Gentile. Mm-hmm. So Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he told the story of Jesus and he encouraged people to believe in him. And it said 3,000 people were added to the church that day. Well, sometime later, Peter was moved by God's Spirit to march from Joppa up to Caesarea by the sea and to enter into a Gentile's home. Cornelius and all of his family were waiting there, just riveted to what Peter was going to say. And he started telling them the exact same thing that he told the people on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and folks were added to the body of Christ. Now, within the Church of Jesus Christ, there were Jews and there were Gentiles. And guess what? Those people despised each other. And when they started learning to love one another, the world took notice. How can that be that folks that were such bitter enemies, that had such vitriol one for another, could come together as one in Christ? That was overwhelming evidence for the reality of Christ and the reality of his presence among those people. The same can be true of us today. Mm-hmm. If we would just look to him and look to him in all things, we would actually start finding ourselves loving one another. Catholics loving Baptists, Baptists loving Methodists, and we would shed those labels. Why? Because those labels are meaningless as far as God is concerned. The only label that matters is child of God. And that's not something that we could earn. That's not something that we could join. That's not something that we, you know, go through a class and figure out at the end of it we're awarded. That's something that God's grace does. God's grace puts that label on us. Why? Because God's grace has changed us from the inside out in such a way that we've actually become new creatures in Christ, new creatures that deserve a new name. And God said, I'm going to call them children of God. And when we will unite there, we will see this unity that God has brought about in Christ Jesus. I always thought, why did Jesus say, love your enemies? I think he knew what was going to come about when Jew and Gentile were going to become one in Christ. And that can actually happen in Jesus.
Yes, it can.
Plenty of open lines, time on the clock, 1-800-677-9377. We'd like to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Bolivia, North Carolina, and talk with Spencer listening to us on WMYT. Hi, Spencer.
Hey, brother. How are you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, you know what? We got rid of the ice. It's warmed back up, and I'm doing like the groundhog. I come out and look for my shadow.
Well, are we going to have more cold weather, or can we expect sunshine soon?
Yeah, well, this thing started a long time ago. God separated the seasons, you know, in cold, winter, summer, spring, and fall. We're always going to have global warming. You know, it's warm in the summer, and it's cold in the winter. Well, you know, I was sitting listening, and I'm amazed at how right, not at how right, too, I'm amazed at how right the scriptures are. We are children of God. We have put off the old man, put on the new. We have a new nature, and it's all because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We became new creatures. I will not change physically until God changes me, takes me out of this body, and takes me home. What body he has for me, I don't know what it'll look like, but I know what the Bible says. The body's celestial, body's terrestrial. I will not have a terrestrial body. I'll have a celestial body. With that, here in this world, and amid all of the chaos and what man has really, really kind of painted himself into a corner, he's come up with all the races and the different things and different whatever. There's only two races of people, Jew, Gentile. There's only two classes of people, that's saved or lost. There's ethnicities everywhere. There's nationalities all over. If we will try and just narrow our confusion down and simplify it rather than, you know, becoming more and more confused about all the other things out there, and do as you said and as the scripture said, and that love one another, that's how there's a credential that God give us to show the world that we are his children. Without those, the world will look at us and say, well, you're as nutty as I am.
And that's what the world says for the most part. Yeah.
It's so sad.
It really is. That's why we need to get back to this gospel message and really spend a lot of time understanding what the gospel actually means. First of all, what is it? Second, what does it mean? And how does this gospel spell itself out in our day-to-day existence? It's the death, burial, and resurrection. When we're saved, we die in Christ, we're buried in Christ, and then we're raised in Christ. And so we come out of that as new creatures. And we begin to live that new life, which is a life of faith in Jesus, in the resurrected
Absolutely. You know, faith is, according to Scripture, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, if you let that be a tongue tangler to you, you'll never figure it out. What I had to do was this. Allow God to be God. Allow his word to be his word. And I just apply his word. And whatever are the results of that application, if it's applied correctly, that will be my interpretation. And instead of going in and say, oh, this means this, and this means that, there it is. No. I am so thankful for you guys, your radio and your programs. And I listen to different topics and subjects and different individuals. And we are, according to the scriptures, salt of the earth and the light to the world, you know. But if we lose this, we've lost it. We've lost it, you know.
Well, let's just keep standing firm on that gospel message that saves. Let's take our stand right there and allow that gospel message to be lived out. And Spencer, thank you so much for your call today. Sure appreciate your good comments.
Yes, we do. And we're going to put you on hold and have our operator pick you up. And thank you again for your call. 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock, plenty of open lines. And Bob and Richard, we had a very encouraging email that came in for Barbara, who lives in South Wales. This came in earlier this week, and I've been looking for a spot to share this with you and with our listeners, and I think we've found it. She says, I'm a nurse, and over the last year, I've been the subject of investigation. Basically, I've been wrongly accused of neglecting patients in my care. It has been a very emotional time for me, as you can imagine, as I love my job, and to be accused of such a thing has torn me apart. But God has so blessed me and brought people to help along the way. Your ministry has been such a blessing, and I have found with you I have been able to get through every day. God has, it seems, led me to the right message at the right time, all, of course, because of basic gospel. The people who have accused me, I know, did so out of jealousy. God, I know, is in control, and I have learned through you that I will rest in him because God is for me, who can stand against me? So God bless you all, and keep up the amazing work you do, and a very big thank you. That's from Barbara, who took time to write to us and listens online, obviously, in South Wales.
Well, we appreciate those kind words. I hate what she's going through. Mm-hmm. Those are sticky situations, troubling situations. You know your heart. You know your intentions. And then those get called into question, sometimes to the point where consequences ensue, negative consequences. But I think she has the right perspective that God truly is for her. This didn't take God by surprise. And since we know that to be true, we can trust him to work all things together for good.
Absolutely. I see two things in that email from her. And the first is that she is trusting God And that's the big issue right there. The other is that the message of God's unconditional love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ as exhibited through his death, burial, and resurrection is getting out. The word is getting out and finding a place in people's hearts, not only here in the U.S. but across and the in Canada, but across the pond, as we call it as well,
that's
and
right.
literally around the world. So we are just very thankful. We are blessed and privileged to have this platform to proclaim him, the only one worthy of proclamation. Yeah. Again, open lines, 1-800-677-9377. And a question from our friend Kelly, who lives in Tampa, Florida, says, I've been trying to understand the intent of Peter's instruction in 1 Peter 4, verses 17 and 18. He speaks of the judgment of believers in verse 17, and more so in verse 18, when he begins, if it's hard for the righteous to be saved. There's some confusion with this, as it seems to conflict with the truth that we're saved by grace through faith. Can I get a little clarity with Peter's statements and intent? As always, your time and instruction are most appreciated. That's from Kelly in Tampa.
Well, it's one of those passages, you kind of look at it and says, where's the grace? but it's right there. And you have to look at it in context. Peter is writing to a group of believers that were going to suffer. Trials and tribulations were just part of their way of life. They were going to be hammered every single day. There was persecution, not only from the Jew, but from the Roman Empire as well, and that was escalating. And so Peter was trying to give them encouragement in the midst of that, and so he writes with that in mind. It says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." So that's the context of this whole passage. Do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering. That should be expected, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. That is the takeaway of this whole passage. Don't be surprised at the trials and tribulations of life. And that is a testing of the faith. That's what he said at the beginning of his letter, that your faith will be tested, and you're going to see that it's genuine, that it's true, that it's right. Don't be surprised about that. So, in the meantime, continue to commit yourselves to the faithful Creator.
Yeah. Kelly, hope you're listening. Hope that's been a help to you. And for those of you who can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, we encourage you to drop us an email if you have something you'd like us to discuss, or perhaps a Bible question, and we'll be glad to do that on a later edition of Basic Gospel. You'll find an email link on our homepage at basicgospel.net. But for right now, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. You know, every weekday afternoon, we're on the air live showing how the Basic Gospel constantly intersects with your life. But it's your prayers, your gifts that make it all possible. For Basic Gospel to be on the air on your station, on your particular station, and your support is vital if we're going to be able to remain. So to thank you for standing with us with a gift of any amount, we have a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape, for you. Now, this is the final opportunity you're going to have to get a copy of this excellent book with a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. So make that call or go online to donate and request your copy. The phone number, 1-800-727-2828. That's 800-727-2828. That'll be available up until about 5 o'clock this afternoon, Central Time. And you can also go online to basicgospel.net, and you'll find a prominent link on the homepage. Operation Screwtape, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.